Today I'll be reading a verse from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Srila Sanatan Goswami. And today's verse has one of the shortest purports ever, but it is a purport. These are the words of Sri Ramachandra, as you well know, in the context of accepting Bibhishan into the party, who's actually attacking his homeland in Sri Lanka. But Bibhishan, being a good soul, has come to surrender to Ramchandra, and there's some consternation on the part of the warriors. Sugriv and Angada are not quite sure about accepting. It's hard to take in somebody who's been on the other side. It's hard for us to trust. Oftentimes, trust is the most valuable commodity in this world. Prabhupada said, our movement runs on love and trust. And just a slight violation of trust takes a long time to build back. It takes consistency over time. It's what to speak of in the heat of battle when somebody comes who's been fighting against you. And we are feeling inflamed with anger against the other side, and then somebody comes and says, I'm going to join your side. It's reasonable that they would have been hesitant. However, Hanuman's more a gentle or perhaps simple way of looking at it, that he's come here, was the way that Sri Ramachandra took it. Besides that, Krishna, Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya are always inclined towards those who surrender and is always willing to give a chance. And so he utters these words when accepting Bibhishan wholeheartedly because he's come to surrender. But as he's doing so, as is mentioned elsewhere in this chapter, when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, it was in one fell swoop that he saved the whole world, because although he spoke to Arjuna, the words were meant for everyone and everyone could take them. And today I'll talk a little bit about Arya Vachasa from one of the famous verses that indicates Sri Ramachandra. And this particular utterance of Sri Ramachandra is for all of us. Anyone can take it. As much as Srila Prabhupada mentioned once in a conversation, this is a long preface, sorry. In a conversation where a gentleman who was speaking with Prabhupada had indicated that one might need adhikari to surrender, and Prabhupada interrupted him partway through his question and said, no, actually the soul can surrender at any time. And he gave the example that if you're a poor person and a person with means comes to you with a large bag of money and extends it to you with no apparent strings attached and says, take it, then what choices do you have? There's only two, actually. One is, the other is, don't take it. So that was Prabhupada's way of talking about how we have freedom at any time to take it. Take what? Arya Vachasa, the words of the superior. And if we do, then we become fortunate. So this verse has become famous, spoken by Ramachandra, as an indication of his mercy and also his power in being able to absolve the sins of every living entity. So let's, a few devotees can pronounce translation. It is my vow that if one only, I'll say it properly, hopefully. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So if everyone would like to say, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours.
My dear Lord, from this day
and just take a second to pray for courage. Hare Krishna. And the purport, this verse from the Ramayana, Yudhakanda 18.33, was spoken by Lord Ramachandra. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Chagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Once on the day of Govardhan Puja, where I usually am at that time at Govardhan Hill, there was a feast just after the worship of the hill and Go Puja, and I was sitting next to my godbrother, Burijan Prabhu, and he was, as usual, in some kind of state of ecstasy. And he leaned over to me on one hand, and he said, "Can I tell you two things?" And I said, "Please." And he said, "Krishna's all-merciful and he's all-powerful." He said, "If he was all-merciful but not all-powerful, what could he do? And if he was all-powerful but not all-merciful, then woe be to us." He said, "But the fact that he's both all-merciful and all-powerful is our great fortune, because not only does he have our best interest in mind at every second and is attentive to that, as he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Sichaham Praji Sannivishto Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, etc., he can actually do something about it. He can do anything he wishes. He's on the ready to assist us in any way that we so desire. And so, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanavartante manusha sarva parta sarvasha, that he'll reciprocate, he does reciprocate with every living entity as they surrender unto him. However, later in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that he says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dveshostinapriya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. He said, I'm working on an equal level, just like if you have a store and people come in, you charge the same amount to everybody. You don't make exceptions. They go, "Oh, I kind of like you better, I'll give you half off." As storekeepers, equal to everybody, at least most Vaishyas are like that. Everyone pays the same price, at least in the indication of the words ye yatamam prapadyante. So I'm equal to everybody. And samoham sarvabhuteshu. I don't make any, I don't play favorites, and nor do I dislike anyone. I'm simply tit for tat, But ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te te shuchapyaham changes everything, the second part of the verse, in which Krishna says that if somebody worships me, if they give their heart to me, then he more than compensates. He gives his own heart to the devotees. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. They live in me and I live in them. And therefore, Krishna is also known as Vanchahatita, which means that he fulfills the desires of the bhaktas more than they could ever imagine or desire. It's not ye yatam prapadyante. Whatever you do, I do equally back. But he pours his heart out to the devotees. And one of the ways, actually, I would say the most important way that Krishna extends himself to the world is through his words. It is the utterance of Krishna that becomes reality and also gives us a rope that we can hold on to that pulls us back home, back to Godhead. He sets the example, does Sri Ramachandra. As we know from Karbhajana Muni in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who describes three of the manifestations of the Lord in one verse, Tyaktva Sudusyaja Saripchita Raja Lakshmin Dharmishta Arya Vajasa Yadagaranya Mayam Ragam Taite Ipsitam Anvadavad Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. He's worshipping the lotus feet of the Mahapurush. And as all of you well know, this verse is described by different acharyas as pertaining, according to Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Sridhar Swami, to three manifestations, three of the appearances, three of the forms of the Lord, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Krishna. As regards to Ramachandra himself, the verse says, Tyaktva Sudusyaja Sarepsita Raja Lakshmin. Tyaktva means he gave up. What did he give up? He gave up all his opulence and wealth. He was beloved of every person, not just person, but every bird, squirrel, animal in Ayodhya. And the whole city of Ayodhya was celebrating that he would become anointed as the king until there was a change, which was effected, as usual, by speech, Aryavachasa. And that was that Dasarath, being bound to the truth, to telling the truth, had to honor the promise he had given to his wife, Kaikeyi, and she, being overcome by envy, had asked for the boons that would seal the fate of Ayodhya, in that she wanted her son Bharat installed on the throne, and she wanted Ramachandra to be banished to the forest. Who could imagine such a thing? And who could imagine honoring that? But the culture was such is that Dasarath had felt duty-bound. He had to honor his word. That's the strength of any person, actually, in the world, is his or her integrity. We have strength through our own integrity. We have confidence because of our own integrity. And others trust us. And as I mentioned earlier, trust is the bond that holds us all together socially and individually. And so, Tyaktva Sudusya Jasa Repsicha Raja Lakshmin. Arya Vachasa means that when Dasarath told Ramachandra, you have to go to the forest now, he said, yes, father, right away. And that set off the series of events of Ramachandra going and leaving behind everyone who loved him so dearly, his kingship, and so forth. There's a story in the Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav about one of the members of the Gaudiya Math, who was very successful in a particular area, and some of the godbrothers had some doubt about his integrity. And they were thinking that he's successful, yes, but. Have you ever heard that before? There's such thing as damnation by faint praise. Yeah, he's really good, but I don't know. And so they had this thought that actually he's just attached, actually, and perhaps it's just because of his past karma that he's having so much success in his center. So they complained to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who held an ishtagosti and invited this devotee to come in, and the complainers also to be present. And he said to the devotee, "I'm reassigning you. You can leave your project today. Just pack up your things and I'm going to put you in another location." And he said to the person who was running the project, "Yes, Maharaj, right away." And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You can stay." This is the strength of any person in this world, to have this mood that I'm doing service for service. I'm doing service on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming down through my authorities, through my guru. And when one adheres to that, then one is infallible. One can never be overcome by the material nature, and one will always be successful. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that his only success was due to following the order of his Guru Maharaj. He took his words. That's mostly what he had, because what else do you get from the disciplic succession except an order, an offering of service, which Srila Prabhupada got early on when he walked up the steps in Altadanga. Those steps are still there, by the way, the original steps. You can imagine the spiritual power of touching one's head to that step. As Prabhupada made the ascent to meet his spiritual master the first time, he walked up 12 steps to the place where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting, and he was waiting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to utter these words to someone who in the future would spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. How would he do it, though? He would do it because of the utterance of the words. When our Srila Prabhupada offered his obeisances to his guru-to-be, as he was getting back up again from bowing his head to the floor, his guru was uttering the words, "Aryavachasa." He said, "You should spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the Western world. Preach it in English." By the time Srila Prabhupada was able to settle back down into his asan, the words struck him. And then, with a little bit of back and forth, those words settled into his heart. And he kept them there. Srila Prabhupada said they incubated there. Throughout the time that he was running a business, which was an onerous task. If anybody has a business, business means busyness. What to speak of family at the same time. But still, the order had pervaded his heart and mind, and it was churning there. And 12 years later, because of that powerful order that he received, the Aryavachasa, from the authority, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was an authority of Krishna, a representative authority, who is invested with the power to speak words that you take some service. Why? Because he was following the order of his Guru Maharaj. And this is the power of the disciplic succession. The Aryavachasa, the word comes down from Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes the utterance that wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them Krishna consciousness. It's an open order. And anyone who takes it, Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by that potency that one comes to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Shall I say it again? I'm not convinced you want to hear it, though. Okay, 75%. The other 25%, you can cover your ears. The order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by that potency that one comes to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So when the Supreme Lord has a desire and he expresses it in words, then anyone who takes that as his or her life and soul then has the wherewithal to come to see Krishna face to face just by holding on to those words, the Aryavachasa, the words of the superior. When Ramchandra went to the forest, based on the words of his father, Bharat came to the forest with his soldiers. At first, Lakshman, atop a tree, standing guard, thought, Bharat, yes, he's come here to try to inflict more pain and suffering because he wants to assure his place on the throne. He'll attack us. And Ramchandra said, don't be ridiculous. And when he met with Bharat, Ramachandra found his soft-hearted brother saying, I cannot take the throne. You please come back. But Ramachandra wouldn't do it. It's inconceivable, practically, to have the opportunity to take the throne and to be begged by everyone to come back. Everyone loves you. There would have been no objection at all, except by Kaikeyi. And everyone could say, what is that? But Ramachandra, Aryavachasa, my father said it. The words were uttered, therefore I'll follow it. And this has become the emblematic pastime for those who would, in this lifetime, take a stand. That I'll stand up to my senses. The bad masters who have been ruling me since the time immemorial. I'll stand up to the public opinion who says, you guys are crazy. Why don't you get a job? If I had 5 pence for every time someone told me that on Sankirtan in the 1970s, why don't you get a job? I'd be a billionaire. But devotees care only for the utterance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when it comes through the authority, we take it into our hearts and we say, this is where I stand in life. Come what may. Matra sparshas dukonteya shitoshna sukadugada agama paino nityas tams tikshash vibharata. The world will change around me. I'll be attacked by the weather. I'll be attacked by the living entities. I'll be attacked by my own mind, but I will not waver from my vow. In fact, vrata, it is cognate with the word vote. And to vote means that you're putting your intention and your actions behind the words. And actually, devotee, we say devotee, it means one who takes a vrat, one who votes. Say, sometimes people abstain. They say, I can't get involved. But devotees don't do that. They say, I'm voting, I'm all in. Krishna's not a thing, he's the thing. And I'm following the words. I'm voting for this. I'm casting my vote. I'm not afraid. Just like in America, sorry to bring this up, the Constitution in America, that when the founders of the new union in America signed the Constitution, there was one member, John Hancock. You'll notice his signature is much larger than everyone else's. That Constitution is still there in the Library of Congress, the original one. It's on the wall in a frame. And he signed it much larger because he said, I want to make sure everyone, including the Queen, sees that I voted for this. This is the mood of the devotees. I got the order. It's coming down through the authority, Aryavachasa. My vote's in. I'm not changing it for anything. So Ramchandra showed us that path. And he also gave us his word, his vrat. Who else would one trust except for one who is so adherent to the order of the master? And when he gives his order, Shri Rama Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Radhakul Kulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shigoni Tai Ki Jai. Who could doubt its potency? So now he's saying in this verse, Sakradeva prapannoyas. If somebody even one time says, I surrender unto you, then from that day, from that utterance, I'll be his protector. In fact, in legal terms, if somebody signs a document, they ask in the document to the authorities, is this person of sound mind? And when they're signing this, they need a witness that the person wasn't deluded or coerced into doing it. And if somebody's not coerced or deluded or intoxicated when they sign it, and that's verified, then even if later on the person changes their mind or becomes deluded or intoxicated or coerced, everyone takes it. They were in their right mind when they signed it. Therefore, this stands. So similarly, we may come to a moment of clarity and say, Krishna offered it. I'm going to take it. Narada Muni says, Tyaktvasa dharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo ta tato patetati yatrakwa babadrama buddham ushikim kovarta apto bhajatam sudharmata. Sometimes people say that. I'm all in. I'm surrendering now. I'm clear about what it is. I'm doing it. And then later on, because they're apakva, they weren't quite mature, and they get dissuaded somehow by some gypsies. It's like, come here. It's like, okay. What happened to you? I don't know. Narada Muni says, he already said it, and therefore that counts. And here, Ramachandra just doubling down on that. He said, you said it, you surrender one time, I'm with you all the way. So this is our this is where we stand. When Prabhupada quotes this verse, which he does several times in his purports and lectures, he always relates it with Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja aham tvang sarva papebhyo mukshayi shami masucha. And in regard to that verse, actually, Jiva Goswami, in a commentary to a verse in which Uddhava is appreciating out of gratitude how kind Krishna is. Naivo payancha patitim kavayaste vesha brahma yushapi ritam kritam mudasvaranta yontar bahis tanupritam ashuban madunvan acharya chaitya vashusa vachasa tadagadaranyam. He says that nobody, Uddhava says, a devotee, even if he has 1,000 creations, could not express his gratitude to Krishna for so kindly extending himself in several ways. One, as externally as the spiritual masters, internally as the Chaitya Guru, and also through his words in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Sarvadharman parityaja. He says the devotees carry that with them wherever they go at every second, and they remember Krishna's words. You surrender unto me, I protect you eternally. And here, Ramachandra, the one who is the keeper of all vows, is saying to us that if even one time you say, I surrender to you, then I'll always be your protector. You'll always have courage. This is where you can stand in this world that's always shifting, where everyone else always lies, everyone else always changes their mind, where the circumstances are uncertain. We never know what's going to happen, but one thing we do know, and that is that Krishna's word, Lord Ramachandra's word, will hold eternally for us. He'll never forget. So this is the essence of our connection with Krishna, is to take his words and say to Krishna with our full hearts, I accept it, I surrender unto you. Now, there's a psychological defect that we may have here in this material world. Not may have, everyone has it. Krishna says, Icha dvesha sumutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. When we come into this atmosphere of the material world, it's fraught with fear. Fear that I'm going to be cheated. Vayam dvitiya binibeshita sadishad apetasya viparya yosmritihi. Havi Yogendra says that we live in fear all the time because we forget the promise of the Lord. We forget that actually He's there with us at every second. We're part and parcel of Krishna, and he's our protector. And I go off to some foster parents who are abusive, and I try to find shelter instead in the material world. But this is the environment in the material world, fear, bhayam syat. It arises because of forgetting our connection to Krishna, especially through his extension of his word. And so the psychological condition of every living entity in the material world is God going to cheat me? Does he actually love me? What if? And this causes fear. So hearing the words of Lord Ramachandra and knowing who he is, who his character is, as we study, what is his position? He's all powerful. He's all merciful. And not only that, he extended himself through his words, Sarva Dharman Parityaja and Sakradeva Prapanoyas. We can take that as our life and soul, come what may, and hold on to that and know that he is our protector. So sometimes we talk about we have to develop faith in Krishna in order to make advancement in devotional service. Do we not? In fact, it's described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Ado Shraddha Tata Sura Sangata Bhajana Kriya. This is called the thickening of faith as we go further along. Sarva Dharma Bridja Mami Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha Siddhira Bhavati Tadrishi in the Brahma Samhita. As you thicken your faith, Krishna says to Brahma, to that degree you advance in devotional service. So that's there. But what about Krishna's faith in us? We say, I need to have faith in God. I don't believe, actually, there is a God, which is lunacy. Is that how? What's the proof? The proof is you exist. You're sitting here. Take a look. And then we say, I want to have faith in him. What about his faith in us? Can he trust our word? And that's where the loving juncture is he extends himself, and then I say, come hell or high water, I'm going to follow my vow to Krishna. I'm going to keep my word. In sadhana bhakti, this is our love for Krishna. We follow it. We follow what was given by the Arya Vachasa. That's how we express our love. And as we do that, as we prove ourselves to Krishna, then atashri Krishna namadi nabhavet grayam indriye Seva mukhihi jivado swayam eva spratida. Shastra says, you prove yourself to Krishna, he'll reveal himself to you. So these words that we've been given are the greatest gift coming down through the words of pure devotees whose minds and hearts are completely fixed on following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we receive them, even one time, with wholehearted attention and intention, then Ramachandra says, I'll be there for you always. What to speak of if we double down, triple down, quadruple down, and lean into that vow as hard as we can. We dedicate everything, every fiber of our being to honoring the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We organize ourselves around these principles. Whatever he says, we do. What kind of life is that? Can you imagine what kind of mercy pours down from the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Prabhupada once said, at the end of this life, Krishna will look and see. He'll say, you followed four regulative principles for me. Every day you chanted 16 rounds for me. Back home, back to Godhead. So this is our lifeline. This is the very essence of devotional service, these words spoken by Sri Ramachandra, the most merciful and the all-powerful. And we can live in these and we can extend them to other people who don't have the light of these words in their lives. Om Tat Sat. And now we'll take a few reflections or questions. Prabhu, all the way in the back wall, then you were second, tie goes to the runner. American baseball.
Harish Tamaru, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is regarding how can we keep the Dhridavada, like how can we practice that strong will to actually follow a vrata every day?
By renewing oneself every day. That's why we do sadhana every day. We don't do every other day or every third day. We're not the same person in the morning we were at night, if in case you haven't noticed. You wake up in the morning, like, who am I again? What vows I made? I made those vows. So we have to have a routine, sadhana bhakti, where we come back to it every day. And every day we have to touch that. Sadhana without touching our sincerity. In fact, when we go into our chanting, when we go into our reading, we have to touch our original sincerity and feel it for ourselves. We have to know, I'm sincere. It hides. It goes away. It somehow recedes within the depths of our consciousness. Where is that sincerity? I know I had it once. Can I find it again? It's the most powerful substance on earth. I've said before, there's a place in Old Delhi, Chandni Chowk, if you dare go there. And you go to this little oil shop, Gulab Singh, the best oils in the whole on the planet. And it's a little hole in the wall. Some big companies and buyers come there and buy a little vial for $20,000, $30,000 of the pure essential oils they use in their other formulas. And you go there and you say, Mr. Gulab Singh, you please give me one little bottle of sincerity. And he'll say, sorry, cannot help you. Not available. You have to find it in your own heart. And that's inspirational sadhana, is to remember, why am I doing this in the first place? We can forget our intention. And that's inspirational sadhana, to remember my feeling when I embraced the order of the Supreme Personality of God and what brought me in here in the first place. So every day, to renew our connection with that sincerity, that's what we're searching for when we do our japa, when we do our reading. And also connecting with new people. When we go out onto the streets of London and we meet people who are wandering in this material world, and we extend the order of the Supreme Personality of God into them, and we watch how it's vital, how it lights them up, how that's what they've been looking for. Then we remember, oh, that's what I was like when I first got it. Vicariously, we appreciate again and again the power of the word. And for those who reject it out of hand, have you ever had that happen? Only two of you? You offer the best thing in the universe. You offer the promise of the Supreme Personality of God. I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Don't worry. And they go, get out of here. I'm not interested in this. I'm busy. I have my life. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm fine. Then we remember ourselves in our own whimsical way of rejecting the Lord. It reflects into our own consciousness. Like, I'm like that. I do that every day. I say, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I've got Mahaprasad, I've got the, you know, oh, I have all these things. And we think, like, let me not be like that. So it's important for us to go forth into the world and mix up with everybody and try to distribute it, because then we see what it is we have. We test our mantras by taking them out and giving them to those who are still sleeping and see, will it wake them up? It's like, will this work on them? And it's like, and when you see people wake up, you remember, yes, that's what I need. That's what I need myself. So somehow or other, we have to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Because as mentioned in the verse, tat tenu kampam susamikshamanu, in the commentary, Sridhar Swami says, there's one duty only for the son of a rich man. And what is that duty?
Stay alive.
Stay alive. One way or another. The Bee Gees also said it. So there's a way that if you just somehow or other stay alive in Krishna consciousness throughout your whole life, then you'll inherit the kingdom of God. And this is our job. This is our sadhana, to somehow or other stay alive. scratch, bite, claw, hold on, whatever you have to do, but hold on to that order. Hold on to the instruction that Lord Ramachandra gave us, that one time you do this, and try to do it every day. That's our actual sadhana, beyond just ritual, of doing it mindlessly. Which is like going to the gym. Chaitanya Charan says, you get a membership to the gym, and you go in, you work out the first day, and it's like, that's a little hard, actually. So I'll keep the membership, I'll go in, but I'll just move my arms. I won't actually lift anything. So we don't want that. We want that connection to that feeling that Krishna extended himself. Jiva Goswami says in the verse I quoted earlier about gratitude, he said, Krishna is more dear to the devotee than 10 million times dear to the devotee than his own life. That is, the devotee values his relationship with Krishna more than 10 million times what he thinks is important in his life. That's the most important thing, and that's real sadhana, connecting with that. Thank you. Such an important question. Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. my question really relates to this statement that when the devotee surrenders to the Lord, then the Lord takes all care. And how does that manifest? Because immediately that verse, apichetsu dracharo, that one can be perfectly fixed in their determination, and yet still the propensity to commit abominable actions is there. So is it that the Lord removes that? I mean, how do we reconcile these two statements?
Yes. So this is addressed in several places. One is in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam with Ajamil. So as we know, Ajamil sort of unwittingly named his son Narayan because of his past momentum in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada, following the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, points out that he had said Hare Krishna because actually he's chanting in the name of the Lord, Narayan. And therefore, because of that utterance, he was freed from sins. And then the question comes, yes, but he kept on sinning. What was that? And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada say, that's like a snake where you take the fangs out. Still biting, no effect. You see those snakes along the Govardhan, they hold them out. It's like, ah! It's like, don't worry, no fangs. So it explains the power of the holy name when chanted in a certain mood. It actually removes the effect of sinful reactions. So they may be there for some time, but it's actually no effect because one's already protected by the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada also explains in the light of the Bhagavat. There's a purport in which he describes, in which the author, Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker, is saying that in the autumn season, it's mating season, so many of the females are now pregnant. They've been impregnated. So then they may even forget. They may not even know they're impregnated. But because they are, they're going to have offspring. So in a similar way, this verse in the light of the Bhagavat from Srimad Bhagavatam says, once one has come in contact with devotional service and declared oneself a devotee, started the path, then the result is sure and certain. It will come of its own accord, even if we don't desire it, Prabhupada writes in the light of the Bhagavat. Once you've started the process, you may say, nah, I changed my mind. It's like, okay, good luck with that. Krishna already, it's already registered. You push the button, it's there. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on the verse, Tatenu Kampam Sisamikshamano, says, sometimes it's seen that after a devotee surrenders, it appears there's still karma. It's like, yeah, look at that guy. He's still getting karma. But he said, that is not karma. That is Krishna. Because he takes the devotee under his wing. And what he's getting, says Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, is Krishna's special mercy. Because Krishna knows this person surrendered. Their intention was clear. They did it with their right mind, not coerced, not intoxicated, and they said it, and they meant it. I know that. But their last vestiges of attachment to the material world and Krishna knows exactly what they are. And therefore, he gives customized suffering specifically to remove the last vestiges of my attachment to the material world. So he says, although it appears like karma, actually it's Krishna's mercy being visited upon the devotee for his benefit, her benefit, to take the devotee out of the material world. There's a lot made of this in the Nectar of Devotion, in the whole section about the six qualities of pure devotional service, that it immediately puts one in transcendental pleasure, is the beginning of all auspiciousness, etc. Why does the devotee feel relieved and happy when he or she takes to devotional service? It's because, as Rupa Goswami quotes, Aparada palam papam kutam bijam palam mukam krami naiva praliyante Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. That when you do this determined service for Vishnu, then all your karma, and he names all the different phases of it, it's destroyed by the power of devotional service. A lot more could be said about there. There's a lot more evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam for that as well. But it's emphasized by our acharyas. This is certain. It's not an amorphous idea. It's absolutely certain that when you take to the surrender process and you chant Hare Krishna, then karma is destroyed. It's just a matter of time before the full manifestation of pure devotional service comes out of the heart. Prabhu.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. You were mentioning earlier about that one doesn't need adhikar to surrender onto the Lord. Sometimes when we meet people and we feel quite sorry for them and we would like to give them a book, I've heard that one shouldn't just give it freely, that there should be some sort of exchange. So, and it almost seems like so that they develop some piety, they've made some sacrifice to receive that book and to appreciate it, as well as receive the blessings of the acharyas. So I was wondering, what if a person just doesn't have anything? Is it sufficient for them to perhaps praise the devotees, to gain some sukriti that way, if they praise the devotees or they do some service, and then we can give them a book in that way? Is that acceptable?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And first of all, I strongly adhere to that and teach that principle, because Prabhupada taught it to us. He taught it in the sense of, you know, somebody goes door to door with mangoes, and they're free mangoes. He told them, this young man, he got these beautiful mangoes, and he thought, let me share them with all the people of the town. So he went around knocking on doors, free mangoes. And they said, what's wrong with them? They can't be very good. So no thanks, go away. So then somebody gave him the advice, you charge for those mangoes. And so he went with the mangoes, he said, you know, these mangoes are 5 rupees each, which was a lot back then. And they said, oh, five rupees. Okay, I'll take 3 mangoes. And so forth. So Prabhupada said, now, as far as your point goes, money is a token. It gets people's attention really fast because everyone's most attached to money. If they put money in the hundi, all night long they're thinking of Krishna's lotus feet because their mind's still in the hundi. Just follows the money wherever you go. And if they hand over something, and so you can see they're going through their wallet trying to, like, here's the coins, and I don't know if I want to touch these paper ones because that's like my life there, my life energy, and I'm going to spend that for myself. That's the whole thought process. You can see it right in front of your eyes. They're going, you know, it's like, no, get your hand out of your pocket and go for the wallet, sir. You know, so we want them to feel that connection with Krishna through the principle of dakshina, that I gave something in return. However, if they don't have paper money, coin money, the token that we exchange, it's our job as doctors, we're vaidyas. We have to see how did they reciprocate. Or how can they reciprocate, engage them in some way so they feel it. They feel that connection that this is not a free mango. This is something very valuable. So sometimes we ask for other things. Like we were just on the street in Tours the other day. And two people I met, of course, this is becoming monotonous, but I got another cigarette lighter. I mentioned it last time. I was in Wales and it got on video. You know, it's like, and the guy was like, wait a minute, after he gave it, he was like, yeah, give me that back, because he realized, I have cigarettes and no lighter, what am I going to do? You know, he's starting to already feel the withdrawal symptoms from the nicotine. It's like, and I was like, you already gave it. So I got another cigarette lighter on the street, and, you know, the person handed it over, and I also got a pen. Because a student, she didn't have any money, obviously, but she dug through her backpack and she said, red pen? I said, yeah, I'll use a red pen for shlokas. And, you know, I have those things, and to me, they're cherished prizes from being out on Sankirtan, because they're the fruit of the yajna somebody gave. But sometimes people just give their attention. Like at Ratha Yatra, a lot of times, you see people, they're enamored of the Ratha Yatra coming down the road, and it goes, this is beautiful, what is it? That's an expression of engagement of their consciousness, and you say, here, take this. And, you know, they gave their attention. In fact, I met one couple in Hawaii, and I was very joyful that day, because I was in the association of my dear godbrother, Satyadev Prabhu. We were doing bhajans and at the temple, and then we came out on Sankirtan. It's a balmy evening, Hawaii, nice breeze. We're in ecstasy, distributing Srimad Bhagavatam on the street, first canto. And there's all these newlywed couples. And what a mismatch. You know, Hawaii, they're there for a honeymoon. It's like, Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I met this one couple, and they're from Midwest America, which means high percentage born-again Christian. So then, you know, showing, I go through the thing, and I explain what we're doing, and they say, no, we're Christians. We couldn't actually touch this. Take it back. And then I said, well, if you like, you know, we're trying to spread love for God. If you like, you can give a donation. And they said, no, no, no. We only give to Christian causes. And for some reason, this is an anomaly for me, my heart was wide open that day. And I just felt so joyful to be in Christian consciousness. And somehow there was a little drop of gratitude came out of my heart. And I said, yes, but you took your valuable time to stop and talk to me. And I so appreciate that you honored this, and you stopped and you talked to me, and you took a few minutes of your valuable life. And I wasn't just saying it. It wasn't glib. I actually meant it, because of the association I was getting. And so that wrapped up. They walked off. I walked off, mixed with the crowd. It was quite a big crowd down there on Waikiki Boulevard and Kalakaua Avenue and Waikiki. And there I was talking to somebody else, and out of the corner of my eye, this is half an hour later, I saw the same couple standing over looking at me. So when I finished this interaction with this other, I said, hi, how are you? And they say, we changed our mind. We're going to give a donation. And they gave me a donation, and then I said, okay, go ahead, for those people. And then I said, oh, please take the book. And they said, no, 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 we can't. I said, only problem, this is a problem. I'm not allowed to take money without giving something in return. And they go, oh, all right. The point was that their hearts were touched because of the exchange. And that's what we're making out there, a conscious exchange. It's heart to heart. It's not mechanical. Each person is individual soul. And what they're looking for is this exchange. Some of them can't muster it. But if we leave everyone with a good impression wherever we go, because of our side, that'll be a lingering impression in their minds. And so this is the art of book distribution. It's not just book distribution, it's the art of life. How we move about as Vaishnavas, the advanced devotees are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishvare Taradineshu Balisheshu Dusatsucha Prema Maitri Kupopeksha Yakaroti Samadhyamaha. The Madhyama Adhikari is a very, very advanced devotee. And here she is, the one who's always looking to do good for others. That's the preoccupation of the Vaishnav, who's actually come into the flow of Krishna's powerful words, Aryavachasa, because he knows they're effective. And I want to give it to everybody. And so he's always thinking, she's always thinking, how can I give this to another person? And then Krishna gives the intelligence. This is how you find your way into the heart of this person. Everyone has a key. there's some word you can utter to every person. Like on the street the other day in Tours, you know, we're looking and I saw one man and he said, oh, I'm a Buddhist, so I can't read this book, you know, I'm Buddhist. So we took the book back, said, hey, let me give you the Buddha book. And we gave him the Buddha book instead. And he took the Buddha book. And so, and there's ways that, you know, you meet somebody from another country and you just say one phrase or word or street that you know of from their town that you are connected. And this is the way we're always looking for them to open their hearts. I think that the time is up. Thank you very much, everyone. Oh, I'd like to also mention that Divyananda Prabhu has an announcement.
Hi Krishna, just wanted to mention, so today we are having a monthly Sankirtan festival downtown in London at ISKCON Soho. So if anybody would like to join us, we'll be there at 11 o'clock for a talk in the temple, and then we go out on Oxford Street for a couple of hours of book distribution. So something, even if you haven't tried, just come and watch. It's magical. We did it in France. About 75 of us were on the street. It was really a lot of fun, and it was easy. It wasn't difficult. One, it was easy because you were being humbled, but people weren't recognizing you in an unknown new country. But it was fun because you were still able to interact, and we learned some French lines from our devotees in New Mayapur, which we were trialing in the town. Tomorrow also, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu will be leading a Harinam in Watford on the auspicious occasion of Ram Navami from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. And then there is a 3 o'clock talk in the Haveli on Ram Navami, as well as a kirtan and a yagya to inaugurate the Bhadra 2022 campaign, where Bhaktivedanta Manor would be taking at least a pledge to try and distribute 600 Bhagavatam sets this year for the Bhadra campaign. So it's a good opportunity to come and witness that. And Tuesday morning will be the last Bhagavatam classes Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu will be giving on this visit, as they are leaving on Wednesday. So let's show our appreciation to His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu and Her Grace Nirakula Mataji. Haribo! Haribo!
Dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Shishi Gornitai, dear Shishi Radha Gokulananda, dear Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, if you so desire, please empower us to embrace your eternal order and fully accept your mercy. And please empower us to distribute it to everybody else in the UK and beyond. And please let the UK rise to the top spot in book distribution all over the world. Where it deserves to be. Thank you for considering our request. Om Tat Sat. Everyone who agrees with this prayer in part or in whole, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Gaur Premanande Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakopla Rusha, Kripa Sindhabe, Vachapatitanam, Pavani Bio, Vaishnavibio, Namunaman, Nantakodi, Vaishnavi Nikijai.